and couldn't be worried about part of his team tumbling around on the stupid lawn. Maybe he'd like to learn how to do a one-handed handspring. Doyle wasn't the only one with upper body strength. Maybe Doyle had the kind of upper body strength that bench pressed Toyotas, but still. He tried to settle down. No point in singeing his fingers with the soldering gun again, because he was watching them instead of what he was doing. Then Sasha came out, sat beside him. We figured pizza in about an hour, if that works for you. Grunting, he finished wrapping enameled wire around a bolt, cutting off the ends.
I want to keep at this, he said, and stripped the ends of the wire. I can take it inside. Grab a slice.
Anything I can do to help? He shook his head, picked up the soldering iron to solder the stripped ends to his new, tiny circuit board.
Really a one-man job.
If you... Well, wow.
Wow what?
Doyle just did a handspring, but with one hand. He looked up in time to see Annika give Doyle a congratulatory hug.
Great.
By the time he'd finished building two listening devices, on a table in the living area where he had room and some damn quiet, the moon was up, the stars out, and he needed a break. He walked outside and down, sat on the steps to look out at the sea.
How did it go?
He glanced back and up, saw Bran on the terrace.
I got two done and tested. I need... Wait, I'll come down.
When Bran came out, he sat on the steps, passed Sawyer a beer.
Sasha said you stuck with water or caffeine during the build. I thought you could use this now. Yeah, I can. Thanks. Needed a break. It's not complicated so much as exacting, especially when it's makeshift. I could work on the last one tonight, but I think I'd start getting sloppy. We can wait until tomorrow night to plant them, or go with two. We talked about it at dinner. Already opted for tomorrow night. Don't push yourself tonight. Appreciate it.
Content with the company, with the beer, Sawyer turned his mind on the what's next.
I can get us inside Malmont's villa, no problem. Since we won't have to deal with windows or doors to get in, we don't have to worry about an alarm system. But if they run to motion detectors, that's a problem.
With a nod, Bran leaned back against the steps, looked up at the star-strewn sky and the waxing moon.
And one none of us considered.
Since the decision to check out Malmont's villa, Sawyer had considered a lot.
Or internal cameras, that's another. If I knew, one, they had motion detector alarms or security cameras, and two, what type, and three, where the system's based, I could maybe bypass.
Amusement had Bran's scarred eyebrow lifting.
Is that the case, then?
On a quick laugh, Sawyer lifted the beer.
I don't make breaking and entering a habit, but it's good to know things and how things work. You can bank on Malmont installing that kind of security while he's in there. We don't know if it's already there. And if I'd thought of it before, maybe Riley could have found out. She may still. We'll tap her on it. Otherwise, we take our chances, I think. If we set off any alarms, we can be out again before anyone checks. I can probably make it look like a glitch. But the cameras, I can find a way to deal with those, if there are any to deal with. All right. If we're back around 5 like usual tomorrow, I'll have the third one done before sundown. More than soon enough, as we think to wait until about midnight. Doyle wants to look at the grounds as well, and we'd want quiet and privacy for that. Can't forget what Doyle wants.
Bran took a contemplative sip of his own beer.
Problem with Doyle, is there? No problem.
To Bran, three no's in succession meant yes.
I see he's learned some new moves from Annika. What? Moves?
Sawyer's head swiveled so fast, Bran wondered it didn't twist off like a bottle cap.
Oh, right. The famous one-handed handspring. A forward one, yes. She claims she can teach him a backward one in no time. There's affection and admiration from him to her and back again. And, Mohara, if you think there's more than that on either side, you're, well, a git, that's all. She's yours, but for the asking. And now, since I've a mind to have my own woman, I'll say goodnight to you, and sleep well, he added as he rose to go inside. His for the asking, Sawyer thought, and glugged down more beer. Not how it looked, not how it felt right at the moment. Besides, asking didn't seem right. She was new to this world. She still got words mixed up, had to have things explained to her. How could it be right to ask her to sleep with him? Added to that, which was more than enough to his mind, she only had 3 months, less than 2.5 now, he remembered, before she had to go back to the sea. He was very much afraid if he asked, if he took, if he had her, he'd never in all his life, wherever and whenever he went, get over her. He should never have touched her in the first place, given them both ideas. The simple solution? Don't touch her again. God knew they had enough to do, to risk without adding in sex and heartbreak. He rose, took the beer with him to his room, opened the door, and nearly dropped the bottle. She sat on the side of his bed, got to her feet as he stood there. I waited for you.
Okay.
Carefully, he set the beer aside.
Do you need something?
Yes. So do you, I think. And so I waited for you. Watching his face, she lifted her hands, nudged the two thin straps from her shoulders, and with a kind of shrug, had the dress pooling at her feet. The single thought that shot through his head was, I'm a dead man. In a fumbling rush, he shut the door. Annika, don't. Words slipped away as she stepped out of the discarded dress and stood, lithe and lean and lovely, in shoes that were nothing but a few bright red straps and high, thin heels.
You desire me.
She took a step toward him.
I desire you. Will you take what I offer you? Will you offer me what I ask?
He knew there were reasons, but he couldn't find and hold a single one.
I'm supposed to.
Lie with me, she said, and took another step.
And her eyes, just her eyes, bewitching green, destroyed him.
Mate with me.
And another step.
Be with me.
She wrapped her arms around his neck, pressed that long, beautiful body against his, and took his mouth. Long, warm, slow, deep. She twisted him into knots, then set the knots on fire. Her fingers dived into his hair, gripped him there while his defenses crumbled to dust. Before he could find the will, the reason, to shore them up again, she slid her leg up his and breached the wall. He surrendered to her, surrendered to his own spiraling lust. Screw the rules, he thought. Screw the risks. He pulled her closer, gripped her hair. All that wonderful hair. They'd break them, and they'd take them together. When he backed her toward the bed, she lowered her hands to tug up his shirt.
I want to see you, touch you, all of you. I need to take your clothes off.
Yeah, we'll do that. Just let me.
As they fell on the bed, his hands ran over her, soft, smooth, sublime.
Annika, just let me.
It was everything she'd imagined, everything she'd hoped for. This freedom he'd never given her before, the full passions in the way his hands took and touched, and the wild hunger of his mouth as it fed on hers with teeth, tongue, lips. No one had ever kissed her just like this, with such appetite. Eager to give him more, she pressed up against him where she felt the hardness, and he moaned against her breast as if in pain. But the kind of pain that spoke of need. So she arched her hips against him again, felt a jolt in her own center, and a kind of lovely, lovely clutching. The muscles in his back, his arms, all so different when lying on a bed. The softness under her, the hard over her,
caused such feelings inside her. Though she'd never undressed a man, it couldn't be so different from undressing herself. And she so much wanted to have his body, without the clothes, against hers. She reached for his belt, trying to stem her excitement so her fingers could work on the buckle.
"Maybe just hold on there," he murmured, "or it'll be over awfully quick."
Her hands went still. "Can it only be once?" The sound he made, a mixture of laugh and groan, puzzled her.
"No, not just once."
"Then it can be quick this time." Her need was now, 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 so she pulled the belt free. "I want to know. It's the first I've mated with legs." Breathless, next to desperate, he forced himself to stop.
"The first?"
Of course it was the first, for Christ's sake.
"Does that mean you're... would it be like your first time... ever?"
"Oh, you mean do I still have the shield?" She dragged him back again. "No, this part is the same, but the legs, the bed, your legs, it's different. It's new. I want you between my legs. I want you inside me, between my legs. I want to know, Sawyer, with you." Filled with those wants, with those jolts, she took his mouth again. "Only you." She started to tuck his jeans down.
"I've still got boots on. Wait."
He rolled, sat up. As he dragged violently at his boots, she reared up, circled him from behind, drove him closer, closer to madness with her mouth at his neck, her hands running over his chest. Freed, finally, of boots, jeans, everything, he turned toward her. She stayed on her knees, her hair spilling like ink down her back, over one shoulder. Her gaze traveled down his chest, down, and she smiled. "You're beautiful and strong." Reaching out, she trailed her fingers over his shaft, made his blood thrum. 1,000 strings plucked at once. "This is pleasure?"
"I don't think they've come up with a word for what I'm feeling."
Still smiling, she lay back, her hair spread over the white sheets in long, rich rivers. A perfect gift, offered without guile or artifice. "Mate with me, please. Put your pleasure inside me." She dazzled him, undid him, and in that moment owned him. He lowered to her, and struggling to take care, to go slow in case she was wrong and it would be like her first time, began to enter the hot and wet. "Oh, oh." Her fingers gripped his arm, nails digging in as she shuddered. And she cried out, with her eyes full of wonder. "But this comes at the end. It's the end?"
"No, it's not the end."
Every muscle trembled as he braced himself over her.
"Do you want to come again? Feel that again?"
"I can? Yes, yes." She made a sound low in her throat when he went deeper. He held there, strained to just hold there until her hips began to rise and fall. I need to.
"That's right."
His lips skimmed light over hers.
"Do what you need."
Then he used his tongue, roughened the kiss when she came again, cried out against his mouth. He thrust once, hard, deep, and she gasped. She arched. "Yes, again, again." So he rode her, fast, hard, just let himself take. She felt that ending that wasn't an ending with him rise up in her again. As it flooded her, she threw her arms back, hooked her legs around his waist, moved with him, mated with him, flew along the wave, then the next. Then what rose in her was more than pleasure and joy, more than all she'd ever known. She shuddered with it, and he shuddered with her. When the true end came, it swept her into another world, one beyond beauty. Even when he caught his breath, and that took a while, his heartbeat sang in his ears. When he rolled off her, she rolled with him, nuzzled up beside him.
And that felt exactly right.
You're pleased with me.
Ani, there isn't a word big enough for what I am with you right now.
I'm the same for you. Making sex with legs is different. And with you, it's more. You have a very good penis.
He choked out a laugh. Thanks. I'm fond of it.
I am too. Will you put it inside me again?
No one like her, he thought, in this world, in any world. I'd say that's a sure bet after this.
And was this time awfully quick?
He took her hand from his heart, kissed it. I guess the first part was, you know, the foreplay. The before the, geez, mating.
Ah, you mean the touching and kissing. I like that very much. It's better to have that longer.
Depends. But there's more stuff people like to do sometimes before the big guns.
More? What more?
She wasn't innocent, he told himself. But she was unschooled in certain areas. You know, maybe you should talk about some of this with Sasha and Riley.
I did. That's how I knew to come here and take off my dress and wear just the shoes.
You really?
You like the shoes. I'll tell them.
He just closed his eyes. I bet she will.
Slowly, she circled a finger over his heart, trailed it lightly down his chest. Will you do the more stuff to me? You'll teach me so I can do more stuff to you.
Annika, you kill me.
That's an expression. I would never hurt you.
I know.
As he turned his head to kiss her, a thought struck him like a bolt from a crossbow.
I didn't protect you.
There was no danger.
No, I mean...
He pushed up, drawing her with him.
Can you get pregnant?
Oh, no. I can't have young with you. We're from different worlds. Not enough the same. I'm sorry.
No.
Relieved, he pressed his lips to her forehead.
It's better that way. We've got a war going on for one thing. And you only have a couple more months.
Quickly, she laid a finger over his lips. Don't speak of the end. Please. We have now.
You're right. If you worry too much about tomorrow, you miss appreciating what is. I appreciate what is with you.
She laid her head on his shoulder. I want to stay with you tonight.
I want you to stay. The bed's a little small, but we'll manage.
Yes. She snuggled down with him again. Is it true it can be more than once?
Yeah, it's getting pretty close to being true right now.
Then before we sleep, you could show me one of the more stuff.
I could do that.
As he angled down to kiss her, he slid his hand down her body, between her legs. Oh, I like this stuff. He laughed, even as he made her come again. In the morning, Sawyer headed outside for calisthenics, feeling like a man who could run 20 miles, all uphill, without getting winded, then polish that off by eating the equivalent of a team of horses. He found Doyle leaning against the outdoor table, drinking coffee while the sky went pale and pink.
The other should be right along, Sawyer said. Mm-hmm. You got lucky. It's all over you, brother, Doyle added. And if it wasn't, I'm next door. Your mermaid's enthusiastically vocal. Oh.
Sawyer studied his water bottle, then looked over at Doyle.
Sorry? No, you're not, and can't blame you. But you owe me. How you figure? She used me to get you worked up. Classic strategy. She'd owe me, too, but she taught me a couple of solid moves, so she and I are even.
Sawyer thought of the damn handsprings and the jealousy crawling over his skin.
Didn't see it coming. They never do. So, payback? Take it up to her room. Then I don't have to think about how I'm not getting laid. Done. I was pissed at you. Yeah.
With one of his rare smiles, Doyle lifted his coffee.
Can't blame you there either. You're a lucky man, Sawyer. She's like no other. I know it. That's why I pulled a muscle in my willpower not to go there with her. Brother, when beauty falls into your hand, you hold on to it while you can. You could be dead tomorrow. Well, that's inspiring.
When the others came out, Annika walked straight to Sawyer, moved in for a kiss. The sort that made him wonder just how soon they could take it up to her room.
Are you passing those out? Doyle asked her.
On a quick laugh, she turned to him, laid her hands on his shoulders, kissed him lightly, sweetly on the lips. This is how you kiss family. Sawyer is family too, but it's different. We have sex.
I heard.
I had stars in my head. It's very good sex that makes stars. And I learned about the Moore stuff. Did you know in the foreplay, such a good word, a man can-
Okay.
Hastily, Sawyer grabbed her hand.
We should get started.
After nearly an hour of squats, shuffles, push-ups, pull-ups, and whatever other torture Doyle could devise, Sawyer made a mountain of pancakes. His call as breakfast chef, and he was in the mood. Halfway through the meal, and the discussion on how and when they'd case Malmont's rented villa, Riley's phone signaled. She took one glance at the readout, rose and moved off, speaking rapidly in Italian. When she came back, she picked up her plate, shoveled food in while she stood. Okay, I scored us 3 SPP-1Ms with 24 cartridges. Best I could do for now, and the third's a bonus. We'll need to hit the kitty, she told Bran.
I'll take care of that part. Where do we pick them up?
We need to go out to his boat, so we'll have to get moving pretty soon. I'll need you to give me the cash and some room. This guy doesn't like crowds.
How trustworthy is he? Bran asked her.
Well, he's a smuggler, a gunrunner, and a thief, so he's slippery. But he won't screw with me. He'll keep it straight. Wouldn't want to damage his rep, or lose the sale if we want more ammo.
Are these guns stolen?
Riley shrugged at Sasha.
Don't ask, don't tell. We need them, we'll have them. Or 3 of them.
Sawyer's the best shot, so I say he gets one, and me, and it should probably be Doyle for the third. Bran's good, but considering what he can already shoot, a gun's superfluous. And Sasha's a decent shot. Doyle's just better.
I'm fine with that. But I should learn how to use it, in case.
We can go over all that on the boat, once we have them. Though she didn't like the idea of more guns, Annika said nothing. She did her assigned chores, got her pack for the day, and with the others walked to the marina. As they eased out of the slip, Riley pointed.
See that yacht out there? 10 o'clock?
Hard to miss, Doyle answered. She's an easy 250 feet.
Yeah, Lester doesn't go for subtle.
The smirk lit his gaze as he slid it toward her.
Your smuggler's named Lester.
I used to know a rogue like him named Sherman. Nice enough guy until he discovered the wonders of cocaine. After that, he really loved ripping out throats 3 nights a month.
Anyway, just head out. Pull up on the port side. I'll take it from there. She adjusted her sunglasses, took the bag of cash from Bran. Don't be alarmed if you see a couple of guys with automatic weapons. They're not going to shoot anybody.
Somehow that doesn't inspire confidence.
And because of it, Sawyer unclipped the holster from the small of his back, reset it on his hip. You're just as likely to see some bimbos sunning French style.
For that, I need my camera.
As they approached, Sawyer did see a couple of hard faces with rifles. And though he thought it unfair to assume bimbo, a trio of hot chicks wearing nothing but big sunglasses and tiny, tiny thongs.
Riley Gwynn, Riley called out.
Lester's expecting me. And this. She held up the bag.
Hey, Miguel. Que pasa?
The burly guy with the AK-47 grinned.
No mucho, chica.
When they lowered the boarding ladder, Doyle signaled Sawyer.
Take the wheel. I'm going with her.
No, you're not. Ignoring her, Doyle stepped over, grabbed the ladder, and started up.
Damn it. Got a friend with me, Miguel. I'll need some help getting the stock down the ladder.
A moment later, Doyle boarded, then Riley, and both moved out of sight.
How long do we give them?
Sawyer kept his eyes on the men with guns.
10 minutes, Brand decided. Can you read them, Foy?
The one she called Miguel would like to see Annika and me naked. The other one, he feels a little unwell. Indigestion, I think.
10 minutes, Brand said again. Unless Sasha feels a change.
It took every bit of the 10, and as Sawyer worked out how best to protect his friends, get on the yacht and save the others, he heard Riley laugh. But he didn't relax until he saw her coming down the ladder, a leather satchel strapped cross-body, and a metal case in one hand. Doyle came after her, another satchel, another case, and some sort of box tucked under his arm.
Ciao, Miguel.
Hasta luego, chica.
He blew her a sly kiss, but stood, armed, until Sawyer turned the boat out to sea.
All good, Sawyer asked.
5x5. 3 Russian underwater pistols with cartridges, holsters, and cases. And a little gift for Doyle.
Lester took to Doyle, which is fortunate, as Lester doesn't like alterations in agreements.
You couldn't have carried it all.
After taking off the satchel, Doyle passed it to Bran.
Lester is barely taller than Gwyn here, with a face like a rat after it's been squeezed in a door.
He's also worth about a couple hundred million, and is quite the bon vivant. He likes brainless, built women and hot younger men, often at the same time.
He'd have oiled you up and slithered all over you given half the chance, she said to Doyle.
Not my type, but I got a prime bottle of tequila out of it.
3, 4, and 5. That's not just prime tequila. It's the god of tequilas. It ain't for margaritas or jello shots. It's for sipping and savoring. Anyway, Lester came through.
She sat, opened the satchel. Let me show you our new toys.
First, where am I going? I'll take the wheel.
Doyle moved to the wheelhouse.
I've seen the new toys.
Because she didn't really want to see the guns, Annika rose. I'll go with Doyle. He's going to teach me to drive the boat.
Here, you take the wheel.
As Sawyer moved aside, Doyle shifted Annika, put her hands on the wheel.
I can?
I'm staying right here.
Behind her, the men exchanged a look that expressed appreciation on one end, acknowledgement on the other. With Annika occupied, Sawyer went back for a briefing on SPP-1Ms. Once in the water, he didn't fire it. No safe target and no point in wasting ammunition. But he got the feel of it, the weight, the balance. A different sensation. As they dove, with the search once again the focus, he kept Annika and all the rest in his eyeline. Riley's intel could be wrong, or Malmont might have sent advance forces. But again, they found nothing and no one. Still, he had a job to finish. When they got back to the villa, he focused on that. The others gave him room and quiet. He glanced up when Annika came in.
I'm sorry, but Sasha said you need to eat.
I'm nearly done.
She said she's making chicken parmigiana.
And suddenly, he was hungry.
Really?
And it would be time to eat it in 30 minutes.
That should work for me.
Sawyer, will you lie with me in my bed tonight?
I was going to ask you the same.
Her smile just brightened the room.
Then I could put the laundry I folded, yours, in my room?
That'd be nice.
But she should have more than just sex, he thought, because however fatalistic, Doyle had it right. When beauty fell into your hand, you held on to it. And in Sawyer's mind, you cherished it.
Maybe we could take a walk around the gardens after dinner.
That would be nice, too. I like to walk with you, and have you hold my hand like Bran holds Sasha's.
But over dinner, Riley suggested moving up the timetable. We head over to Malmont's villa, scope it out. We need to make sure it's empty. He could have sent staff or soldiers ahead,
or arranged for locals to stock it up for him.
That's why we decided to go in after midnight, Doyle reminded her.
It's after 8 now, and a good 30-minute hike. We need to case it, find any exterior security, deal with it. After Sawyer pops us in, we may have more security to deal with. Then we have to find the 3 most logical locations for the bugs.
Why wait?
Sawyer had to side with her.
Y'all mostly decided on the time to give me a chance to finish the bugs. They're done, so let's move it up.
And if there is someone in residence? Sasha asked.
We'll figure it out.
Considering that, Riley switched wine for water.
It's a hell of a lot easier to figure out on site than it is to speculate.
There's a point, Bran agreed. So should we say we'll leave here at 9 then?
It wasn't the romantic garden walk Sawyer had envisioned, but he calculated every step took them closer to resolution. If they could eavesdrop on any of Malmont's plans, they could foil them, maybe turn them back on him. And if they beat him badly enough, what use would he be to Nerissa? Whatever punishment she might mete out for failure, he'd earned.
We're closer to the sea, Annika told him. More above it, but closer.
He'd want a good view.
They came to a wall.
Other side of this, Riley told them.
The gate should be up ahead. It'll be locked. Smarter to go over the wall anyway.
Let me check it out.
Sawyer moved ahead, came to the gate. Iron, elaborate, arched, and secured with an electronic lock. Behind it, he made out a pebbled road wide enough for a vehicle, and shielding trees, bushes, but no cameras. As he walked back, he scanned the area. More homes, but he saw no one on the road, no one in a window.
I didn't see an alarm or cameras, but if we tried the gate, it might set something off. That can get us on the other side. I've got mine.
Bran put an arm around Sasha's waist, floated up with her, over and down.
Never gets old, Sawyer commented. Okay, team, huddle up. Quick trip.
He had them over the wall where the air was sweet with flowers and the night full of shadows.
Stay together, Bran said quietly. And keep out of the light.
Keeping the pebbled road close, they passed through a lemon grove, circled around an area with stone benches and a small fountain, then through a garden lush with blooms and scent.
Got our garden walk after all.
He gave Annika's hand a squeeze, then stopped.
Wowzer.
The villa loomed ahead, white as fresh snow, with windows black and glittering in the starlight. The pebbled path split, one stream toward the house, banked with rose bushes, another toward an outbuilding. The face boasted wide terraces held by carved columns. It rose 3 stories, along with what he took as a rooftop terrace. The stream of moonlight turned it all into a charcoal sketch of indulgence.
It makes our villa on Corfu look like the low-rent district.
I liked ours better. We had Apollo.
Sawyer gave Annika's hand another squeeze.
He's a great dog.
No lights on, Riley pointed out. It's not even 10 o'clock. If anyone was in there, we'd see lights.
Ones out here are probably motion activated, Sawyer said. You know, get home late, they come on as you get close to the house, so you don't fall on your face. Shouldn't matter. If anybody sees lights come on, they'll just figure someone's staying here.
Provided no one's in there and just called it an early night, Sasha pointed out.
Let me check it out. I can be in and out, like the Flash.
Before Sawyer could take out the compass, Riley gripped his arm.
Not on your own, Barry Allen.
Just like Doyle had to come with me this morning, I'll go with you.
Fine by me. Give us 10 minutes.
When they vanished, Annika frowned. Why did she call him that name? The Barry Allen name.
I have no idea, Bran said. The Flash, his civilian name. Christ, Doyle muttered. Hasn't anyone read a graphic novel?
With a shake of his head, he moved into deeper shadows.
I'll scout the grounds. Keep close, Bran warned. I'll be close enough.
He vanished into the dark, as Riley and Sawyer had vanished into the air. Chapter 11. In just under 10 minutes, Sawyer popped back, alone.
The place is empty, and it's a simple exterior security system. We're fine inside.
He nodded as lights came on in the villa.
Riley's scouting locations for the bugs. It's a hell of a place. I should have made a freaking dozen. We'll work with what we have, Bran said. We've got what we've got.
His hand went to his gun, then relaxed again when Doyle melted out of the shadows.
Ready?
Sawyer took Annika's hand, shifted them all inside. Light splashed on smoke-gray tiles and dark wood in a soaring entranceway, crowned by a double staircase.
We did a quick sweep down here, another on the next two levels. Kitchen's stocked, and there's fresh flowers everywhere. There's an outdoor kitchen on this level, and another on the roof terrace. There's enough food for an army, but it wouldn't be like Malmon to have more than his personal security and key people in-house. He wouldn't house his grunts here.
And no word on how many he might have, or where he'll house them. Riley came down the grand staircase in scarred hiking boots. 8 bedrooms in this place, including 2 master suites. One's more masterful than the other, and you can take it to the bank Malmon would pick that. The bathtub's freestanding, natural stone, and big enough for a party. I want it for my own. But more to the point, I vote for a bug in there.
I agree with that. He won't have meetings in there, Sawyer added. But he's likely to use it. It's pretty princely. To make calls, send out orders, get sit reps.
I don't know that word.
Situation reports, Doyle told Annika. Shorthand for it. Prime location would be where he'd meet with his team leaders.
Yeah, Sawyer and I talked about that. Main level, that's how we see it.
And you know him. We don't, Bran put in. Yeah.
Still, Sawyer looked around.
We did, like I said, a quick sweep. We should spread out, do a more thorough one.
They rejected the kitchen, the main level bedrooms, a game room, and took it down to a spacious parlor with windows looking out over gardens and out to sea, or an office and library combination with an elaborate antique desk, more dark, heavy wood, lots of rich Italian leather.
What's your instinct?
Bran looked at Riley and Sawyer.
Which strikes you?
He'd like lording that view over his underlings, Riley began. And he might use the parlor deal, or the big terrace down here for a meet. But...
Office. That desk.
Sawyer nodded at her.
It's command center. I'm in fucking charge here. That's Malmon. Do both.
Doyle scanned the office.
You've given us a clear sense of him, haven't you? He's not doing serious work above this level, not having his soldiers come into what he'd think of as more personal areas. Rooftop terrace, the pool, the setup. It's an arse kicker. But main level, that's business. 2 down here, 1 in the bedroom. I should have made more bugs. Whatever we might get is something we wouldn't have had, Bran pointed out. Okay, agreed? And done, Sawyer said when he got nods. Bookcase is handy behind the desk. They will sweep. I'll take care of that, Bran assured him.
After studying the shelves, Sawyer picked up a small silver box, opened it.
Pretty much tailor-made.
As Sawyer slipped the device inside, Bran held a hand over it. For a moment, it glowed clear, cold blue.
A kind of shield, Bran explained.
They repeated the process in the parlor, in the bedroom they believed Malmon would claim.
I want to test it. I need one of you at each location. I'm going to shift back to our villa. Y'all give me, we'll say, 3 minutes. Then I need whoever's in the office to say something. A couple of sentences. Give it 10 seconds. Then same thing from the parlor. Another 10. Bedroom.
If it works, I'll be back right after. If it doesn't, give me about 2 minutes for adjustments. Go through the round again.
It took 2 rounds before he was satisfied. Careful to leave everything as they found it, Sawyer traveled them back to the villa.
You look a little beat up, Riley observed.
No, just used up some. A lot of traveling in a short span. It takes it out of you.
I'll make you a snack.
He started to brush off Annika's offer, thought better of it.
You know, that'd be great. I'm a little low on juice.
As Annika hurried to the kitchen, with Sasha behind her to supervise, Sawyer sat under the pergola.
Now we wait.
I'll keep trying to find out where he's housing his troops. If I get a hit, we might be able to screw something up for him. In fact, I'll...
Riley broke off when Annika ran out.
Sasha says they're coming, from the sky. They're coming.
Weapons, Doyle snapped out.
Training paid off. In less than 2 minutes, they stood together, fully armed, in the grove.
Make them come to us, Riley ordered. Make them maneuver. You up for this, Deadeye?
Count on it,
Sawyer replied, a gun in each hand. They winged down from the sky, not the mutant bat-like creatures from Corfu, but hundreds upon hundreds of the strange, vicious birds they dealt with on the boat. Smaller, faster, more agile but no less lethal, they poured into the grove. Sasha's bolt went through 3 at once, which burst into ash. Sawyer fired, two-handed, while blades cleaved. Their wings, he discovered as one sliced through leaves, barely missed his throat, were as deadly as talon and beak. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw Annika flip back, delivering 2 fierce kicks as her bracelet shot 2 more. And the wing that sliced through the sole of her shoe.
Watch the wings, he shouted. They're like razors.
Dropping into a crouch, he fired right, left, then checked his timing. If he waited for a group, he could, as Sasha did, take out multiples with one shot. One caught him as it fell, the keen wing grazing his shoulder before it went to ash. To avoid the next, he dropped, rolled, and took out 12 more before he had to reload. To his right, Bran blasted out streams to cover him. He caught sight of Riley falling flat on her back to avoid a low swoop, and Doyle's sword cutting through so she rolled away from falling ash, firing as she did. He smelled the ash, the stink of it, and blood. The others, his own, as a trio he aimed for split apart. He took out the high 2, but the one who went low caught him with talons at the ankle. Mindful of his hands, he used the butt of his gun to smash at it, then put a bullet through it as it lay fluttering on the ground. Then Annika lifted her arms, spun, 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 bracelets flashing until ash fell like rain. For a moment, the grove echoed with power and with silence. In a defiant gesture, Riley kicked at a pile of ash, then swiped at the blood trickling down her temple.
Now I want a snack.
Turning, Annika hugged her.
I'll make you one.
When he noticed her limping, Sawyer grabbed Annika around the waist.
Did they get your feet?
A little, but they ruined my new shoes.
As Sawyer felt the heat of battle fade into a laugh, Doyle sheathed his sword.
Put a slice in my coat. Bet you can fix that, he said to Bran.
Seriously? You want him to use magic to fix your coat?
Doyle only shrugged at Riley.
It's a good coat. Why don't we go inside?
Bran lifted one of Sasha's hands, bleeding, to his lips.
Assess all the damage. I think we look at flesh first, then see what we can do about coats and shoes. That was a hell of a move there.
Sawyer kept his arm around Annika as they walked.
The last one. Spinning?
I was very mad about the shoes. I had a lot of angry energy.
Looks good on you. You've got some nicks. Those little bastards are fast.
We kicked their ass.
Don't say it,
Riley warned Doyle. I'm not an idiot. She just wanted to keep us busy, to see if we've got something new going, like her little lovebirds. Suicide Squad. That's what they were.
In the kitchen, Bran cleaned and dressed wounds with Sasha's help.
Not too much damage, considering.
Frowning, Doyle picked up his leather coat, poked a finger through the slice in the sleeve.
I like this coat. It's only got about 30 years on it. I'll have a look at it.
At the kitchen sink, Bran washed blood and balm from his hands.
And now that we're on the mend, I'll tell you we will have that something new. The bolts, bullets, blades, and the bracelets. We've nearly got what we'll want there. Another day, two at most.
Hot damn, Riley said over a mouthful of salami and cheese.
If it works as planned, we'll be able to take out a swarm of those bloody birds with one shot. Even hotter, damn.
As he ate, as he felt his energy level creep up from zero, Sawyer nodded at Riley.
We're going to need to score more ammo anyway.
Got that covered. Now you. Sasha nudged Bran to sit so she could treat his wounds. It's the same as on Corfu. A nightmare like that comes out of the sky. We fight, bleed, kill, and no one notices. It doesn't happen for anyone else.
Best it doesn't, isn't it? Explanations only cause complications. I'm going out. Make sure there aren't any stragglers.
Hell. Riley stuffed another bite in her mouth, rose with Doyle.
I'll go with you.
Bran crooked a finger.
Let's see the coat first.
After Doyle tossed him the coat, Bran laid a hand over the gash in the sleeve, as Sasha coated balm over one in his own arm. Then he handed back the coat, battered as it had been, but undamaged.
Thanks.
When they went out, Bran smiled at Annika.
You don't ask me to fix your shoes.
It's not important. Doyle's coat is like armor. I think it's a kind of armor for him. These are only shoes. Without them, Sasha pointed out, your feet would have been cut more seriously. She picked them up from the floor herself, handed them to Bran. So they're a kind of armor too. When Bran handed them back to her, whole, Annika hugged him. Thank you. I'm going to take Sawyer to bed now.
Sawyer choked on a bite of salami.
Annika offered him water. He doesn't say it, but he's very tired. The food helps, but now he needs to rest. Come to bed, Sawyer. You can sleep in my bed. Only sleep, she added, offering a hand. As she let him out, they heard her say, If you want to have sex, you should lie quiet and let me take you to the ending. With a half laugh, Bran tugged Sasha into his lap.
What a woman she is.
But she's not. Torn, Sasha stared after them. She's not of this world, and her time here is limited. It's limited because she saved my life. She pressed her cheek to Bran's, to the gift he was to her. I encouraged this between them. They both wanted, and I... But the love for him, Bran, it pours out of her, deep and fierce and complete. Now all I can think is, what will happen to her, to her heart, when she has to leave him?
Love is...
Treasuring his own, he stroked her hair.
And sometimes the gods are kind to those who give it.
Not much evidence of that so far.
Right here.
He drew her into a kiss.
How could I not believe in the kindness of the gods when I have you? Be glad for what they have now.
And have faith in tomorrow?
It's what we have. Now you should rest as well.
And if I want sex? Laughing, he stood with her.
I'll be happy to take you to the ending.
The André Malmont who moved into the Delier Day wasn't the same man who'd adjusted his black tie one fateful evening in London. He was no longer altogether a man. And he liked it. He liked the strength and the appetites that grew inside him. He'd even come to enjoy the pain that struck quick and fierce in his spine, as if two vicious hands wrung it like a wet rag. If he'd developed a taste for blood and flesh, he had the means to indulge it, as he had with the whore he'd killed and drained on his last night in London.
he was becoming.
Nereza had given him this gift, and the promise of eternity and power, once he'd completed his tasks. And he could have and do with the six guardians whatever he liked, once he'd secured the stars. Then he and Nereza would rule all the worlds for all time, together. He'd considered just what he would do with the guardians. He wanted the compass, that was principal, just as he wanted to kill the annoying yokel who held it. Slowly, of course, and painfully. He would hunt the inestimable Dr. Gwyn and force her to lead him to her pack. Just the thought of owning a pack of werewolves delighted him. Sell off some of the young, breed more, and have hunts for centuries. The mermaid he intended to keep for his own, she would make a lovely display. The sorcerer, likely a quick death there. The seer he'd hoped to capture and keep. But they would see, as Nereza wanted her destroyed. And the immortal. Ah. Once shackled and held, such a creature would provide decades of entertainment in the torture chamber, even now being built for that purpose. He would never be bored again. Now, sipping a Bloody Mary mixed as a transforming demon preferred, he gazed out over the sun-struck view from the terrace. As the veins in his arms tended to bulge and pulse, he wore a long-sleeved shirt and dark glasses, as the brilliant sun irritated his eyes. A small price to pay. For tonight, Nereza would come to him, and she would take him places with her body beyond pain, beyond pleasure. But today, there was work to be done. Sir. His head turned, several degrees beyond the human, but the servant didn't blink or cringe. One who had, in London, had never been seen again.
Commander Trake has arrived. I'll see him in my office.
Malmont set the half-empty glass aside, walked away. The servant allowed himself one small shudder as he picked up the glass to take to the kitchen. John Trake, fit, 40, fiercely handsome, with the curved scar down his rugged right cheek only adding a dangerous appeal, walked briskly into Malmont's office, on boots polished to a mirror shine. He believed in discipline, in order. Was quick to mete out punishment to any under his command who failed to maintain his standards. Killing was simply a byproduct of command, and while he also believed, strongly, in profit for work done well, he would, and had, killed for free. A contract with Maman inevitably led to profit. For this new work, so elaborate, so far-reaching, so challenging, he'd already banked €1 million. Each capture of the six targets would bring another million, with a bonus of 10 more upon successful completion. Six captures, and the three stars, he assumed them jewels, Malmont wanted for his own. He had 60 men under his command, and 20 more civilian workers. In taking the contract, he'd agreed to work with, coordinate with, Ellie Yadin and Franz Berger, both specialists. He considered Yadin a psychopath, and Berger undisciplined, but had respect for their work and the results of it. Though nothing showed in his face, Malmont's appearance surprised him. Pale as parchment, thin enough that the shirt hung loose over his torso, Malmont sat behind a large desk, eyes shielded with dark glasses.
Commander. Mr. Malmont. I trust everything is on schedule. It is. The holding center will be completed tomorrow, on schedule. Yadin arrived yesterday and is already supervising his own areas. We expect Berger by 1800 hours. Excellent. I expect you to put the holding center to good use, and quickly. I look to report the first capture within 36 hours. Alive, Commander. Alive is essential to my needs. Understood. And where are they now?
Trake took a device from his pocket, consulted it.
Their boat is anchored off the southeast coast. Do you want the coordinates?
Once a man who gathered and examined all details, Malmont just flicked a hand.
Not necessary at this time. As soon as their accommodations are ready, take them. Within 36, sir.
You've never disappointed me, Commander.
As Malmont stared, a dull yellow glow seemed to pulse behind the dark glasses.
Don't let this be the exception to that rule. I'll complete my mission. I depend on it.
Malmont smiled, showing incisors longer, sharper than they should have been.
Contact me when the tank is ready. I'm particularly interested.
After another long day in and on the water, Sawyer grabbed a shower, a beer, and headed straight to the radio and recorder he'd set up. A few minutes later, Riley leaned over his shoulder, one hand braced on his back, listening as he did. Rewind. Doyle and Bran are winding down playing pool. I'll get them, and the others. When they all crowded in, Sawyer held up a hand.
Nothing from the parlor yet, and no conversations from the bedroom, just moving around. Probably staff unpacking for him, but we hit in the office. First came in about 11:15. It's Malmont and Trake. I think Trake.
It's Trake, Riley confirmed. I recognized his voice. And word is he's calling himself Commander now. Gave himself a promotion. Play it back, Sawyer. The quality leaned toward Tinny, but the words came through clearly.
Capture, not kill.
Bran considered that when Sawyer stopped the recording.
Sensible. Controlled. Wipe us out, and it's more difficult to find the star we already have.
That's what Yadin's for. Torture. Since it was handy, Riley took a swig from Sawyer's beer. We give up the location of the first, any information we have on the other two. But we won't. Annika looked from face to face. We swore an oath. I'm not saying we'll wrap it up in a bow, but Yadin's really good in his chosen field. We don't want to be taken to wherever this holding center is. We don't want Yadin to start working on us. Within 36, Riley added. At least the wait for that's almost over.
He knew our coordinates, Doyle pointed out. So they've got a GPS on the boat. It won't be hard to locate now that we know about it.
He looked at Bran.
How far could you relocate it? How's New Zealand?
Doyle gave one of his quick, rare smiles.
Should be far enough. It won't stop them, Sawyer said. But it's a finger in their eye, so I like it. Holding center. It could be anywhere, but I'm putting my money on the cave. Sasha got vibes there.
Maybe Bran should set off that chain reaction. Finger in the eye, Riley commented. And a boot in the balls.
The boot's wasted if we're wrong, Doyle pointed out. I can shift up there, take a quick look.
No. Sasha cut off Sawyer's suggestion sharply. You need to stay away from there. And it's not time. I can't tell you why or how I know that. It's just not time.
Okay, we save the boot and the balls, and we listen.
Sawyer tapped the recorder.
We keep listening. A bit more, Bran corrected. Tonight, all weapons, all ammunition. We'll be adding power there, and draw the light from the moon to seal it.
The ritual, while simple enough, required all six, the potion Bran had brewed for days, and faith. You want us to put all our weapons into a big pot of goo? Bran arched his scarred eyebrow at Riley.
It's a cauldron, and it's hardly goo.
She leaned over the cauldron, studied the thick blue liquid. It looks like goo. A little like what my great-aunt Selma puts in her hair.
Hair or fur? Sawyer wondered, and got a sneer. It's pure, Bran explained. And powerful. Not so very different from the light bombs, but in another form. This will coat blade, bullet, bolt, bracelet, and what is used to propel them with that light and power.
Annika laid her right hand on her left bracelet. Only she could remove what Bran and Sasha had created for her. It takes trust. She unclasped the left bracelet, then the other, held them out.
With your hand, your faith, put them in.
Carefully, Annika laid the bracelets on the surface of the liquid, watched them sink beneath.
Well, hell.
Sawyer took his combat knife, his dive knife, followed suit, and with some reservation unholstered both his guns.
You have to believe, Annika commanded.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've never believed in anybody the way I believe in the five of you. So,
he put his guns in the cauldron, added all his ammo. Sasha put in her bolts.
The crossbow won't fit all the way under.
Bran brushed a hand over her hair.
It will.
With a nod, she set it in, bow first, and realized she shouldn't have been surprised when it simply slid in, vanished beneath the blue.
Okay, here goes. You're one hell of a wizard, Irish. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here.
Riley added knives, 3, guns, 2, ammo, then pulled out her pocket knife.
Might as well hit them all.
Didn't think of that.
Sawyer added his multi-tool.
You never know. I've had this sword longer than any of you have been alive, longer than your parents and grandparents have lived. So trust me, this is faith.
Doyle lowered his blade into the cauldron, then his bow and bolts, his knives, his gun, ammo. Finally, they added the underwater weaponry.
It's the clown car of cauldrons, Sawyer decided, and made Riley hoot out a laugh. Here is trust, Bran began. Here is unity, and here is power.
He pointed at the moon.
The goddesses three created the stars. The goddesses three set us on this path. They guard, and now we guard against the dark, against all who would twist the pure into the profane.
He lifted his other hand, began to draw it back slowly, as if pulling a great weight. As he pulled, white light spread over the blue, and now his voice reverberated, shook the air.
In this place, in this hour, we call upon your light and power. Selene, Luna, Arianrod, hear us, moon daughters, through air and earth and waters. And stir this brew with light, brilliant and bright, and with these weapons we employ only evil to destroy. So pledge I, your son.
He looked to Sasha, took her hand.
So pledge I, she said, your daughter.
And took Doyle's. So they took their oath, one by one, in a circle around the cauldron, bubbling thick and slow. And Bran raised both arms.
As we will, so mote it be.
3 sharp beams of light shot from the moon, arrowed into the cauldron. Sparks of it flew like stars, whirled above, dived below. Then all went quiet.
It's tough not to applaud, Riley said after a moment. You put on a hell of a show, Irish.
This one took the 6 of us, so well done all.
Yeah, everybody take a bow.
Now what do? Riley wondered.
Just reach into the goo, magic goo, she added, and take everything out?
Bran simply turned his palms up, raised his hands. Guns, clips, knives, bows, swords floated up. Without hesitation, Annika reached for her bracelets.
They're still so pretty, and don't feel any different.
They will, Bran told her. When you need them to.
Sawyer plucked his guns out of the air, examined them, holstered them.
That'll be in, what, under 32 hours now?
Less, I think. Feel, Sasha added as Doyle sheathed his sword.
Less than that. They move in the dark tonight, the mother of lies and her pet. And tomorrow comes the blood. Blood in the water and the death of men. And one of ours if the choice is wrong. I can't see who. I can't.
It's murky.